Welcome to Plant Network Podcast, where we talk to horticulturists about their gardens and their careers. Hello and welcome to the Plant Network Podcast. And today I'm actually doing it face to face with somebody for the first time in 2 years, which is brilliant. So I am talking to Mercy Morris, who is the new Plant Network Administrator, among other things, and we'll find out more about Mercy's other things in a minute. So welcome to the podcast, Mercy, and welcome to Plant Network.
Thank you. It's really exciting being here.
And being together for the first time. This is great. Now, my first question is usually, tell us about your current role. And that's quite difficult because you haven't been in post long. So why don't you tell us about everything else that you do as well as the Plant Network role, because it's a part-time role and you can do other things.
Yep. Okay, so the first thing alphabetically that I do is I am the awards manager for the Professional Gardeners Trust, which is a charity that gives awards to working gardeners so that they can get skills and education which they wouldn't otherwise be able to afford. And when I'm not doing that, I'm a self-employed gardener in Whitstable and Home Bay areas, mainly getting muddy at the moment.
That's winter gardening for you, and with plenty of rain around at the moment as well. I know this is putting you on the spot, but how are you finding your role with Plant Network?
I'm really enjoying it, partly because I knew quite a lot about Plant Network beforehand. So I was a member of Plant Network probably since about 2002 when I was working at Wakehurst Place. So I've been to lots of events and I've known quite a few other people in Plant Network. So yeah, I know what the organisation does. Just get me into the role, which is quite an interesting learning curve. Different applications and computery bits and pieces, but it's great fun so far.
So, as you said before, you're a self-employed horticulturist, so you have quite a horticultural track record. So how did you get to where you are today?
I started by becoming obsessed with houseplants in my early 20s when I was actually at university doing English and politics. Then I went to go and work for an insurance company because I couldn't think of anything else to do because I hadn't found my thing. And eventually the plants on my desk in the insurance company started actually crowding me out, and my colleagues suggested politely that perhaps it might be time to retrain. So I retrained part-time. I went part-time at my original employer, and I got 2 NVQs, several City and Guilds, and I did my RHS general certificate, as it was then, by correspondence. And once I'd finished all that lot, I went and got my first job in a garden centre. And I did all sorts of things in garden centres, as you tend to do. I always think it's a great way to learn as a first job, because you have to answer every single question under the sun. And you have to sound convincing, otherwise people are quite rude to you. So I did that for about 5 years. Then I went to work at Wakehurst Place, a gardener or botanical horticulturalist, as they prefer it to you. And I worked in the water gardens there and then in the Southern Hemisphere garden. And I was lucky enough to go seed collecting in New Zealand for 6 weeks while I was there, which I can't complain about. That was great fun. From there, I saw a fantasy job advertised in Horticulture Week for Plant Heritage in CCPG, as it was then, and thought, I really want to do that job. It had absolutely everything that I found interesting in it. So I applied for that, and I found out about 3 years afterwards that I was the wild card candidate. They thought, oh, stick her in for a bit of fun, we'll interview her. And I got the job, and it really was such a brilliant job. It was really so much fun, and I met so many interesting people. When I first started there, we had a little, very leaky porter cabin in the Wisley car park, but we moved to slightly more robust repertoire. And then after 8 years there, I was taking a master's in ethnobotany at the University of Kent, and various reasons I thought it was pretty time for a change. You can only go so far in cultivated plant conservation. It's quite a small niche career-wise. So I moved down to Kent from Sussex, and I started doing various part-time jobs around my university time. So I stacked nail varnishes in the local Tesco's, which is really satisfying, really satisfying. And I did a few, the job title was research assistant at the university, but it really was just wrangling Microsoft and various other databases and things for people. And then after that, I did 6 months at Witch Gardening, which really didn't work for my brain. I'm just not adjusted to work in that sort of environment, I don't think. So I came back and I thought, I don't know what to do now. One of my friends said, Mercy, you could do gardening. Oh, all right then. So I did, I think 5 years I've been a self-employed gardener. Occasionally I normally have one other thing, like the research assistant jobs at the university. I did a bit of merchandising for a while, which was truly horrible. It mainly involved sticking stands together in Tesco's, which I didn't enjoy. There were no nail varnishes to coordinate. And after that, I got the awards manager job for Professional Gardeners Trust out of the blue, just as a recommendation from a friend. And then the Plant Network job is another one of those fantasy jobs that I just saw advertised in the newsletter and thought, I really want that job. Really want it. So, yes, I've had a really interesting career. Really interesting.
You have, and I think your career shows the kind of breadth that you can have and the kind of directions that you can go, and nothing is a one-way street. You can explore it and then come back, as you've shown. And when your friend suggested doing gardening, it's great advice. And to know that you are ahead of the curve as well with the houseplants.
Oh, yes, very satisfying.
They're really kind of at peak, aren't they, now?
Absolutely, yes.
But you also do you still grow and sell houseplants?
I do still grow and sell houseplants and air plants, Tillandsia. I have just had to cancel 2 markets because I have not had enough time to prepare enough plants. I've got the plants, but they are not in what I call a saleable condition. They are very scrappy. So, I still do that. And I've been trying to put some of my plants online to sell since last January. So I will get around to it eventually. And I do talks on houseplants as well, which is great fun.
That's brilliant news. Maybe we could explore that, because that's something that we haven't explored in Plant Network, is the whole houseplant
topic. It's just enormous.
And growing.
And the intersection with the grown-up tropical plant cultivation is very interesting as well, because there's not a lot of back and forth between the so-called amateur houseplant growers that grow them in the home and the people who grow them in the big glass houses. And I think there could be a lot more constructive communication between the two.
But it's nice when you can see that there's an opportunity for things to develop and for connections to happen.
Yeah, so, and for the science to be shared.
I was going to say, watch this space for something that connects these two worlds.
Absolutely, so exciting.
So this is always quite a difficult question to ask somebody, but it's a question I throw in each and every time. If you could go back to your younger self and you say, do this or don't do this or do this sooner, what would you do? Would you change anything? Would you offer advice to your younger self, to young people or anybody getting into horticulture now? So quite broad.
I've thought about this for many years, actually, and since more or less since I got into horticulture. I would go back to my 14-year-old self. I might have been 13. When you pick your options for doing what would be GCSEs now, I think, I would say, Mercy, take chemistry. Because I took physics and biology because I liked them both at the time. And I found out, because I wanted to do biology A-level, and I found out that I couldn't unless I had GCSE at the time. So if I'd done that, I would have gone on to being able to go on to a science degree instead of an arts degree, because I was already quite interested in plant biology when I was in my mid-teens. So I think I would have naturally drifted into that area slightly earlier without having wasted 10 years. But you never can tell. You really can't. I mean, my mother tried so hard to make me a gardener, and I was just not interested. She wasn't a Latin name user, but she loved plants and gardens. She always had house plants. If she had a piece of size of a face flannel, she would cultivate it. But I was not interested. It wasn't until I left home that I got interested. I presumably because I missed her house plants, and I had nothing green around me.
But that seed had been sown, hadn't it?
She had
sown that, so that when you did miss.
Absolutely. So parents out there, it really is worth trying, even if it doesn't look like it's working.
And I agree about keeping your options open at that kind of 14 to 16, because you don't know which direction you're going to go in. So the breadth that you have, I think, is important. What do you think the future holds for you, Mercy? More exploration around the world of horticulture?
Oh, honestly, I'd need at least another 5-10 lifetimes to explore the amount of things that I want to explore in horticulture. It's such an astonishingly broad field, and there are so many exciting jobs. I just get excited by every new web page I open and every new thing that I see. Yeah, I just want to carry on finding out new things. I think I want to carry on being excited by things, so I don't really have a all-conquering world plan. Oh, and the important thing that I've learned this year is that it's really good combining actual physical dirty gardening outside with indoor sitting in front of the computer gardening. Best of both worlds. Really makes such a difference to your mental health and your physical health. It's brilliant.
And all the different skills you get from those two things.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah.
I wondered whether you could tell us about your own garden or a garden that you're working in at the moment that means something to you.
Okay, my garden is complete and utter chaos at the moment because the temperature has dipped to the point where I have to get everything tropical into the greenhouses or into the house. I've got two greenhouses. I've got a 6x8 and a 6x6, which need bubble wrapping, and I haven't bubble wrapped them yet. My home is rented, and when I got there, the garden was just lawn and quite a big bit of gravel in front of the back door, and a dead Christmas tree at the far right-hand corner. Because I was only going to stay there 6 months. I swore I was not going to do anything to the garden other than mow it. I was not going to get involved, because if you rent, you have to put everything back where it's supposed to be. And of course that didn't work, so I've now got many flower beds, and the greenhouses again are slightly accidental, but one greenhouse is completely full of spider plants, obviously because of the National Collection, and the other one is just full of stuff, and there's about 300, somewhere between 250 and 300 plants in the house.
But you mentioned there as well the National Collection.
Yes, my.
So that's quite. I think that's quite an important thing to tease out here.
Okay.
So you're living in a house with a garden, so a conventional house, conventional garden, but you have a National Collection.
Speaking from the perspective of my job many times before, it is entirely possible to have a National Park Collection in a small rented house, because you have to have three of each accession for conservation purposes, in case the giant elephant from the sky lands on your collection. So I have, in theory, one set in the greenhouse, one set outside, and one set should be in a polytunnel. Last year, interestingly, they came through -3 last year, and they defoliate on the top. They're just like herbaceous plants, and then they came back again. Because I've got a counterpart, Sam Green, who is in Leamington Spa. She's also got a National Collection of spider plants. Weirdly, we both independently developed collections at the same time without knowing each other. and we got some funding from Plant Heritage that Sam applied for so that we could meet up. And oh, it was so exciting. Seeing somebody else's collection of spider plants is just unbelievably exciting. But we have different identifications on different names, which we're trying to preserve at the moment, because we don't know, because they're not very good records, which ones are the right ones. There's so much research to be done.
The next question I have on my list, it's that three-in-one question. Uh-huh. We've spoken a lot about plants that you're interested in, but I wondered whether you could say what your favourite plant is. I think the garden tool that you can't garden without, that goes absolutely everywhere with you, and the book that has inspired you the most, that you refer to the most, that is the one that you'd recommend to somebody.
The book that I love the most, that's given me the most happiness, is Potted History by Catherine Horwood, which is a history of growing houseplants in the UK. And it is the most fascinating book. You will learn why the Great Fire of London affects the cultivation of houseplants in this country. Honestly, it's the best and most fascinating. If you're not interested in plants at all, it's a fascinating book, it really is. Favourite tool? I really don't want to say hurry hurry because everybody has said hurry hurry, but it is the thing that I am constantly using. As an alternative, I got a pair of cheapo florist's scissors, which are very good. I quite like cheapo florist's scissors, but I always am using my hurry hurry. So, yeah. Favourite plant is a challenge. So I've got my notes because obviously I would choose spider plant, and I don't think I've used their grown-up name yet, Chlorophytum chymosum. And I would pick Chlorophytum chymosum Hawaii, which has three possible cultivar names, but they will have Hawaii in there somewhere, just because it is a gorgeous plant. It's very different in bright light to what it is in the shade. The little plantlets are very different, and I have not tried the seeds from it yet, because there's a whole long story about Chlorophytum chymosum seeds, which is interesting, but I won't bore you. But if I couldn't have a spider plant, I'd have to have a pelargonium, because I've been growing pelargoniums since I bought a red-bedding geranium, red-bedding pelargonium once, and carried it home on the train, and the smell just amazed me. The smell of those leaves of a normal zonal pelargonium is just amazing. And that was a long-running obsession. I'd probably take Quinquilibatum, which is a pelargonium species, because it has weird colour flowers. They're somewhere between greeny-whitey purple, and it sets seed reliably, so you can grow it from seed.
And thank you very much for speaking with me today, Mercy,
right,
at this slightly noisy coffee shop. We thought we'd find a quiet spot in Birmingham, but it can be deceptive. But thank you.
A pleasure.